And we're kicking off a new series today. We just spent some time in a series called Into the Wilderness. And as we enter into what we're calling 41, it's kind of just a natural progression into 41. And I'm going to explain that. But like what we saw in our last series is this pattern that happens over and over again, where God's people, they walk through seasons of waiting, of testing, of trial, of uncertainty. And sometimes, if you look through these patterns in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, you kind of see the same number pop up. It's 40 days, or it's 40 years. We're going to talk about how this shows up. We're going to look at it, how it shows up in Noah's life, Moses, the Israelites. We're going to even jump into the New Testament and look at how it shows up for the apostles, Paul and Peter. And then, of course, we know these numbers and this wilderness journey showed up in Jesus' life, and we looked at that. Now, regardless of the time, like we're focusing in on 40, regardless of that, what's important is that the story doesn't end at 40. There's always a moment where a shift begins, where the storm ceases, right? Where clarity comes in and where breakthrough happens. And when that takes place, that's when a new day dawns. And that's what we're calling our 41 moment. And here's what I know. We're going to see this play out in scriptures in the Bible, but we also, in our lives, we have 41 moments, not just one. We're going to go through many seasons where we get to experience this moment too. And your 40 may not be 40 days or 40 years. It may not fall into that time frame. But what I know is like it's probably been a season of struggle or waiting or loss or grief or confusion. It's something you've walked through. And you've probably felt like as you're going through it that it was never going to end. But then something changes. And God, man, he just shows up and he begins to carry you through, and a new day begins, and then a new season comes with it. And so we're gonna unpack that. And during this series, what I want to do is I want to share the biblical accounts, these stories that take place, what the 41 looks like there, but I also want to be able to connect it to our stories. I want to share some stories in my life. And other stories that I know from other people. But then I want to help encourage you to begin to look at and examine your moments, your seasons, your 41 story. And so what I've done is I've put together a form with a set of questions that's going to help you navigate different moments. Not like your entire life testimony, but these seasons and these moments where you went through something, what you went through, why you went through. We're going to look at these specific questions like what was your 40 in that season? What led to it? What happened during it? And then what did you experience as your 41 entered in? My hope is to help you begin to craft that, prepare that, so that it can be shared. You can share it with others so that you can inspire and encourage others as they're going through their 40 as well. And so they're going to put an image up on the screen. There will be a QR code and a link so that you can go online and you can go through those questions. And as you look at it, it's going to ask you some very specific things. And just fill that out, and it'll help us. And if you don't want to do it online, I have some printed out. If you'd rather just pen it out, these are at the back table right there. Grab one on your way out. Fill those things out. And like as you go through it, like, man, take time with it. Like, really, really begin to think about what led to it, what happened during, what God was doing, what you were experiencing. And then, of course, at the very end, it's like, what do you see now looking back? And you take all that, and you're able to inspire others. And so, with your permission, you're like, you will receive the submission on the bottom. You can determine how much you want to share. And if you're willing to share, we'd love to be able to post those out in our lobby so people can be inspired by them. We'd also love to be able to share them on our social media. And then as I go through this series, if you share a 41 story that has a direct connection to a story that I'm sharing in the Bible, I'd love the opportunity to share that with the congregation as well. Because again, your story is so important, not just in your life, but it can also be the change. It could mean a 41 moment for somebody else. So that's my encouragement to you. Man, fill that out and begin to share what God has done in your life. Now, we'll be doing that this whole time. as we dive into this series, we're going to kind of ask some of the same questions of the stories that we are going to explore. What caused the 40? What happened during the 40? And what was then experienced in the 41 and looking back? And today we're going to kick it off with the story of Noah and the ark and the flood. And right out the gate, we can say, well, what caused Noah's 40? Well, it was God's judgment, a decree of judgment on all of humanity and all of the world. We'll be in Genesis 6, also in chapter 7 and verse 8. If you want to follow along, you have your Bible. You can pull that out. If you don't, that's okay. We'll have the scriptures on the screen as well. So let's dive into what led to Noah's story. Genesis 6, verse 5. When the Lord saw that man's wickedness was widespread on the earth and that every scheme his mind thought of was nothing but evil all the time, the Lord regretted that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Then the Lord said, I will wipe off from the face of the earth mankind whom I created. Jumping to verse 8. Noah, however, found favor in the sight of the Lord. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among his contemporaries. Noah walked with God. And so we begin to see this picture, you know, God is grieving about the wickedness that's taking place, but he sees Noah and he sees his righteousness. And due to his righteousness, God then calls Noah to be an instrument to build a vessel that would save all of humanity. And so in this moment, there's a lot taking place. It's just a few verses, but man, there's so much here. And so God declares, I'm going to wipe it all out. I'm going to wipe out all living creatures, everything that has breath in their lungs. I'm going to wipe it out. And that's the first thing he shares to Noah. And then he says, Noah, listen, everyone in the world is wicked, but you. And so Noah's carrying that weight. And then he goes, listen, because of that, I'm going to wipe everyone out, but I'm going to save you. You're righteous. I need you to build an ark. Something that has never been seen before, something that's never been done before, something where people are going to walk by and go, bro, why are you building that thing? What is it for? So I'm going to have you build that. And then if that's not enough, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send two of every animal to come to you to get on that boat with you, and then you and your family and the animals, they're going to get on that thing. And just like take a moment to really consider all of this that is coming to Noah. Like if God called you, and I'm Noah, I'm going, I got some questions, God. I need some clarification on a few things. When you say destroy every, like you mean like boom, gone, right? Like, and so you just wonder, like, man, like Noah's gotta be having these questions and he's having these doubts and he's having, like if it was me, I'd be like, hold up, like let's really give me some time. What is the timeline, God? Like how long before? What I want to get my stuff in order, make sure I can. And so it's one of those things you go, did Noah have these questions? You know, I think he's human. And we go, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But what we see in the story, you get to Genesis 6:22. Here's what it says. And Noah did this, period. He does it. He did everything that that God had commanded him. And I'm just looking at it and I'm going, man. When he says Noah is righteous, when he says Noah is blameless, when he says he's someone that walks with God, we in his response to it, we go, he does. He has this faith to follow God, even when there is so much on the line and there's so much uncertainty. And so not only did he have to build the ark, well, then he has to get into it. And not just him, it'd be one thing, but like, sweet, look at me, I'm living large. I get this boat to myself, but he has to bring his wife and his in-laws. You know what I'm saying? And that could be fun. I don't know. And then he has to bring the animals. And in some sense, the in-laws and the animals, probably it's like maybe the same. Who knows? Okay. And so he's bringing all of these people in. They're going to be in this boat. And then the reality of it is God's not like, hey, here's how long you're going to be on the boat. Here's how long this is going to last. Here's what's going to take place. It's for an unknown amount of time. And as they enter into boat and God shuts them in, God is leading them wherever he wants to take them. And I think it's just really, really important to gain perspective on what Noah is stepping into. Yes, there's this righteousness and obedience that led Noah into the ark to be saved, but with it came an unknown destination for an unknown amount of time, resulting in prolonged isolation as well as uncertainty in his life. And just think about this. The ark was not a directional vessel, okay? Noah's not going to be like steering the boat. God's not like, hey, man, here's the map. Here's where you're going. Here's what you're going to do. Here's what you're going to plot out. No, man, they got in. God shut the door, and he says, I'm going to take care of it. They weren't entering with a destination in mind. God says, here's the plan of salvation. You should get in. And they stepped in, and they trusted God to save them and to lead them. And it's just this powerful picture of Noah's of faith and of Noah's righteousness. And so he builds the ark. And after it's built, we jump over to Genesis 7. We're going to look at verse 4 and a few verses after that. And God says, 7 days from now, I will make it rain on the earth, 40 days, 40 nights. Jump into verse 7 now. So Noah, his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives entered the ark because of the waters of the flood. Two of each animal also joined, entered the ark with Noah, just as God commanded. And then verse 10 says, 7 days later, the waters of the flood came on the earth. Verse 17, the flood continued for 40 days on the earth. The waters increased, lifted up the ark so that it rose above the earth. The waters surged and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water, and the waters surged on the earth 150 days. Now, I wanted to show you that because we begin to see mention of 40, right? We see 40 days taking place. And while our series is based off of 40, Noah's 40 ends up being much, much, much longer. Because we know that it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. But then after that, guess what? The waters surged. And they surged, and it says, for 150 days. And then it had, the waters had to take time to recede so that the earth could then be a place that is habitable again. And so this wasn't just a 40-day journey. Noah and his family were on the ark for over a year. Just think about that, y'all. Just what had taken place and what was going on. Again, the isolation, the uncertainty, the smells, right? It's back-to-back 40s. And it's raining and the water's surging and the ground outside is disappearing. And you know, like, there's no more life but what's in the ark, and there's waiting and there's uncertainty, and they're wondering, when does this stop? When do we get out? How long do we have to be in the ark? And then Genesis 8, verse 1 tells us, and it's such a powerful thing, God remembered Noah, as well as all the wildlife that were with him on the ark. And God caused a wind to pass over the earth, and the water began to subside, and the sources of the watery depths and the floodgates of the sky were closed, and the rain from the sky stopped. The water steadily receded from the earth, and by the end of 150 days, the waters had decreased significantly. In verse 4, the ark came to rest. And so this is just really, really powerful four verses right here. And starting off, God remembered them. Now, for a split second, you read through that, and this is my human thinking, and you go, wait, hold up. Did God forget them? I don't know. Do you guys ever read something like that and go, wait, does that mean God forgot? Oh, my goodness, Noah's out there floating around. Like, he's got a bunch of animals. I forgot that I did that, you know? And so it's like, there's this just floating around in the open waters of the flooded world, right? And so you just, that passage, you're like, no, 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 it's God. He didn't forget them. What this moment speaks to is that God never forgets you. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're experiencing. And he especially doesn't forget you if you have obediently and faithfully stepped into following his will, even with all the unknowns that come along with it. And so he remembers. He remembers Noah. He remembers what he told him. He remembers how he called him. And then he moves to restore the world back to its original place and also restore humanity to their place. And what happens next is beautiful, and it's a picture of what took place in Genesis. And God's Spirit passes over the earth and begins to separate the waters, right? The waters from the heavens and the waters of the sea. And then the ark comes to a place of rest. And this phrasing, this is meant to stand out to you. This is meant to pop off the page. The ark rested. You know what that means? The work is done. The turmoil, the judgment, The rain, the flooding has ceased, and now there is calm, and God is present. This word, the Hebrew word for rest, is nuach. Nuach, like that. And it means that. It means to rest. It means to settle. It means to be at peace. In Exodus 33, 14, God says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you nuach. I will give you rest. And it's God's presence that gives us this rest. And something else that's really, really cool right here. So it means peaceful, secure, permanent settling. And guess what? It shares the same root as the name Noah. Noah's name means rest. Noah's life, Noah's righteousness was meant to come to this place where all of humanity and the world experiences this moment of rest in God and peace in God. And it's so powerful. And what happens is this moment of rest brings with it hope. The time in the ark, the isolation, the uncertainty, man, is coming to an end. And after the rest, God is then going to bring peace. So it goes on. Genesis 8, 6 through 9 says, after another 40 days of waiting, Noah opens a window and he begins to send out like a bird search party. He sends out a raven. He sends out some doves. In verse 10, it says, so Noah waited 7 more days, sent out the dove from the ark again. And when the dove came to him at evening, there was a plucked olive leaf in her beak. So Noah knew that the water on the earth's surface had gone down. After he had waited another 7 days, he sent out the dove, but she did not return to him again. Verse 15, then God spoke to Noah, come out of the ark. And it's a little thing within this story, but it's in there for a reason. The dove and the olive leaf are a symbol of God's peace. And it's just a small symbol that's revealed to Noah that God had settled, his peace had settled over the earth and also over the inhabitants of the ark. And here's the deal. When you're 40, it seems long lasting and like it seems like there's no end in sight. You've been going through it for a long time. When you get to that 41, you will experience a God-given peace that surpasses all understanding. And you'll look back and go, I know what I went through was hard, and I know what I went through is tough, but God's presence in this place, it brings me rest, it brings me peace, it brings me calm. And we get to experience that in that day of 41. And when you get to that place of rest, and you get to that place of peace that God has given to you, do you know what the natural result is? It's praise. You worship him for who he is, for what he's done, for what he's orchestrated. And that's what Noah does, verse 20 of chapter 8. And then Noah built an altar to the Lord. He builds a place where he can worship the Lord. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, he said to himself, I will never again curse the ground because of man, and I will never again strike down every living thing as I have done. And so we see obedience, and we see patience, and we see this praise that comes in that is pleasing and appeasing to God. You remember last week we were talking about baptism, and we were talking about passing through the waters, and after the waters there's praise. Do you see the similarities? Do you see what happens? This is where it takes place as well. There is praise after we pass through the waters of judgment, and because of that, man, it's pleasing to God. Something you got to see through this whole story. God tells Noah, you are righteous, you are blameless, you walk with me. And from that moment, what you get to read about, what you get to see is Noah's righteousness on display. There's obedience to build the ark. There's obedience to enter into it while the storm is happening. There is patience through the storm, and then it's followed by praise, and all of it leads to God being pleased. And so now God gave him a symbol of peace, right? The dove and the olive leaf. And that becomes later a promise of peace. God declares he will never flood the earth again or wipe off humanity or living creatures again the way that he did. But then he also moves to reestablishing the covenant with man that he had made with Adam and Eve. And so you just see all these things come to a culmination. Now, this is Noah's story, and I was thinking about this as it pertains to my desire to have you share your 41 story. I'm going, what if Noah could share his? What if he could tell us his 41 story in the same way that we're talking about it? And so what I did is, like, through the series of questions that I'm giving to you, through the biblical narrative in the Bible, as well as what I just shared with you, I have put together Noah's 41 story from his perspective, and I just want to share it with you. It says this, like it would be coming from Noah. I lived in a time when the world around me had completely turned from God. Violence, corruption, and wickedness were everywhere. But the Lord called me to live differently. And then he asked me to do something that didn't make sense. He told me to build an ark, so I obeyed. For years I built while others carried on in wickedness and sin, unaware of the judgment to come. And then the rain began. What followed was a season I couldn't control. The waters rose, the world I knew disappeared, and my family and I were shut inside the ark. We didn't know how long it would last. We didn't know where we were going. There was no direction, only trust. The ark wasn't moving toward a destination I could see. It was simply carrying us through the storm. Everything outside was chaos. Everything inside required faith. Days turned into weeks, weeks into months. At times, it felt like nothing was changing, just waiting, floating, wondering. But God had not forgotten us. In time, he caused the waters to begin to recede. The ark came to rest. I sent out a dove, and when he returned with an olive leaf, I knew something had shifted. Life was coming back. Peace was near, and eventually we stepped out onto dry ground. What I thought was just survival, I now see was salvation. What felt like isolation was actually protection. God didn't just bring us through the storm, he preserved us in it. If you find yourself in a season where you feel shut in, uncertain, or carried by circumstances you can't control, trust him. Stay obedient in what he's asked you. You may not know or have control of where you are going or how long it will last, but God does. The waters will recede, the doors will open, and a new day will dawn. This is a powerful picture of what God did. You know, Noah's story, it is an extremely unique story. One that had never happened before and has never happened since. And it carries with it so much significance to God's plan of salvation for humanity that would one day be fulfilled, not through Noah, but through Jesus. And so here's what we got to see. What God did through Noah did bring salvation to humanity. What God did through Jesus brought salvation to humanity. And what God does in and through you can help others experience salvation. Let me say it like this. Your righteousness could be the very thing that leads others to salvation in Jesus Christ. And you just see it play out. And so now I want to connect this to my story, the way that I've seen God weave this in my life. And he's done it in multiple ways that God began to show me as I prepared for this. And the first one is in our journey of fostering and adoption. So me and my wife, we were foster parents for 13 years with over 40 children. That came through our home. I just realized that I used the number 40 there, and I didn't before. Anyway, sorry, that's me and my ADHD. Okay, and so over 40 children came through our home, and so here's what happens. Like, as we take on a foster child, what we're doing is we're bringing them into our home to protect them from what is going on outside. There's sin, there's wickedness, the trauma, whether it's physical, verbal, or sexual abuse, there's neglect, there's drug and an alcohol addiction. Sometimes we bring them in just because the family was experiencing a hardship that was overwhelming them. And so what happens is we get a call. And as the call comes in, we hear about, you know, just the storm that is raging in the life of a child. And we have to pray through each one because they call a lot. And you just got to make sure that it's right for you, it's right for your family, and you pray as much as you can, and you seek God's clarity and discernment, and you prepare as much as you can. But you just, there's so many uncertainties. You don't know the child coming in. You don't know the baggage and the trauma that they're bringing. You don't know their personality. You don't know how long the storm will last for their life, or where the waters are going to take you. And so here's what I did. I looked at how we brought children into our home, and I see these similarities to the safety and preservation and protection that the ark provided from the wickedness of sin that was running rampant outside, and that's what we got to provide for these children. And there would be times when we would have the children in our home for one day. It could be 8 months, sometimes up to 2 years. And we just never knew how long. And we didn't know what would happen with our family, because anytime you introduce a child to your family, it begins to change the dynamics of your family. And so we weren't sure what that was going to do, and that's something we always prayed about. We also didn't know what would happen in their life when they came into our home. We didn't know what our family would experience in all of this. And I can honestly say that some journeys broke us. They broke us. And we were left kind of picking up the pieces, looking back and going, we should have said no. And sometimes that happens, and sometimes we figured out, you know, how to really process through those things, and it was hard. And so we experienced those times. But we also didn't know. We never really knew what was going to where the children were going to end up. Would it lead to adoption? Would there be reunification where they'd go back with their biological parents or maybe to a family relative? Maybe they would go to a different foster home. There was so much left out of our control, right? What would happen during? What would the outcome be? You know, what is going on outside with their family, with the case, with all those things? So much left out of our control. And so what you have control of, really, is what's happening in your home. What's happening in the ark? What are you going to do with the time that God has given you as the child is brought into your home? And so what we controlled was the love, the care, the protection, and the peace of those children while we had them. We couldn't steer the ship. We could fight, we could try, we could do all these things, but what we did is we put our trust in God, knowing that where he is leading and what he is doing is for our good and for his glory. And we believe that. And no matter the circumstance, no matter the outcome, here's what we also believed. God is always in control. Always. Always in control. And so our family and our home became that, an ark of safety, of love, of protection, while we had those children in our care. And we got to, during that time, guess what we got to do? We got to share the hope and the love and the peace and the rest that is found only in Jesus. And we got to do that for children, and we also got to do that with their parents in some cases. And so God used my wife and I to share the hope of Jesus with people we probably never would have imagined sharing with, because we were obedient to say yes, to step into a storm, to step into an ark and see what God would do. And so that was the first thing. And then after that, God showed me something else in a similar fashion that what God did through the Noah and Ark. And so I was thinking about when Jesus came down, right? He came down and he died on the cross and he took our place for salvation and he rose again, right? Offering forgiveness from sins and salvation. But he did something else. Jesus came down and he established the church. And I go, he established the ark of the church that would become a place of refuge, a place of provision, a place of protection, a place of safety, a place of preservation of sinners saved by grace. That's the church that he set up. It's a place to escape the sinfulness of culture around us and enter into God's rest and enter into God's peace. And so that's what we got to do. And so in my life, God called me into this because I got to step out and plant Kairos Church. So many unknowns. I don't know where we're going to land, but I get to set up a vessel of hope and peace and joy and rest and restoration in the midst of a world that is drowning in sin. Because we know this. Sin is like a constant barrage of rain and storm surging. But you enter into the church, And you find the peace in the presence of God. And you find the love and the kindness of God's people, of sinners who have been brought in, who have been saved by grace, and who have been transformed. And so the church becomes an ark for a world that is drowning in sin. Now let me state something clearly. The church is not salvation. Jesus is the salvation. The church becomes a vessel, a refuge for those that who are brought into him. And here's the greatest thing, ready? The beautiful thing about the ark of the church is that the doors are always open and everyone is welcome in. And Jesus did that. Jesus gave us that access. And it's such a powerful thing to see that what God did for humanity then, he did through Jesus and continues to do today through the church and through the Spirit that has been given to us. Noah stepped into a vessel, fully trusting God to guide, protect, preserve not only his life, but that of his wife and children and all the animals. And guess what? God shut him in and took care of the rest. And it's complete surrender to the will and way of God. Hebrews 11:7 talks about Noah and it says, By faith, after he was warned about what was not yet seen and motivated by godly fear, he built an ark to deliver his family. And while God saved Noah's family due to his righteousness, Noah was not their savior. It was God. They had to come to their own saving faith, but due to Noah's righteousness, man, God looked favorably on them. And then his family got to witness Noah's obedience in the face of adversity, Noah's patience in the midst of an ark full of animals, and ultimately Noah's praise when God remembered and showed up and they walked out. And because of Noah's obedience and patience and praise, they also got to experience God's rest and God's peace. Here's what I want to say. Fathers, husbands, men, our righteousness has such a deep, profound spiritual impact on our families. And our willingness to lead, our willingness to trust, our willingness to surrender control to God is so important for them to see so that they can begin to take steps of faith in their own life. You never know the impact your righteousness, your faith will have on others. And it's so important, no matter what's going on, no matter the storm that's raging, no matter the season that you're in, no matter what you're going through, that you stay focused on who God is and what his word says and what his Spirit is doing, no matter what. And you showcase that to the people that God has put in your life to help steward their spiritual faith. You know, in all of this, like the seasons of waiting and isolation and uncertainty, Noah experienced, they're tough. It's tough to navigate. We know that. What's crazy to me is Noah willingly stepped into this. And it's gonna be hard. But just look at it from a grand scope. Have you ever considered that the season that you're in, no matter how difficult, no matter how trying, no matter how comfortable, may be because God is protecting you from judgment, punishment, or the natural consequences of sin in other people's lives? That's why you are where you are. What you're experiencing, it may feel like punishment, but it very well may be God's protection. And it just becomes a change of perspective. Now, there will be times when we sin and we have to face our own punishment and we have to own up for that. But what if the season that you're in right now is not God trying to punish you, but he's trying to protect you? What if it's God floating you on top of the waters of the storm raging, and he's saving you and those you love from the storms and the waters of death all around you? Just think about it. What if the isolation you are in is actually God protecting you from sin? I think once we begin to properly identify why we are, where we are, and what led there, and what God's doing, we can properly respond to it. faith and through righteousness, and our response to it will be seen by the ones that we love. I'm going to ask that you would bow your heads, close your eyes as we close out our time. Then you can think through those questions. Maybe you already have in the beginning. What caused your 40? What happened during the 40? What changed and what did you experience? I was thinking about just the things that God has shown me and how he utilized my home as an ark of protection and preservation and God's love. What is your ark? Like, what is the thing that seems impossible, that seems overwhelming, that God has called you into so that you can be someone who is providing a life-saving faith to others that would ultimately lead them to come to know the love and the grace and the mercy of our Heavenly Father through his Son, Jesus? Like, what has God invited you into? And you immediately go, that's too much. I'm overwhelmed. Lord, I can't. I don't know how. I'm not properly equipped. And God's going, I just need you to be obedient. Take the steps. Follow where I'm leading. Step into the boat and let me show you where I can take you. Are you following? Are you pushing back? Will you trust him enough to enter into what he's calling you? And I think as you go through these things, there are times when God calls us into these moments. There are other times when other people's sin leads us into these moments. There are all kinds of reasons and circumstances that we experience these things. I think the important thing is to go, am I focusing on what God is doing and what God has planned and what God's will is, or am I still stuck in what happened? You want to experience rest? You want to experience peace? You got to let go. You got to let go of your control. You got to let go of your expectations. You got to let go of the hurt that was done to you, or even the hurt that you did to somebody else. It's that rest and that peace comes from a heart and mind that is fully surrendered to who God is and the transformation that he wants to do. So if you're here today and you're yearning for that, and you're desiring that, you need to fully place it in God's hands to experience his rest, to experience his peace. I don't know how much longer you're going to be in the season. I don't know what God's doing through it, but I believe the 41 will come, and when it does, man, you're going to look back and go, man, God, you are so, so good, and you'll praise him for it. You know, God invites you into his presence. He invites you into his loving embrace to experience his peace and rest. And so here's what I'll say as I close out. Whatever sin you have committed, he has covered. Whatever grief or pain or loss you've experienced, he can heal it. Whatever uncertainty or anxiety that you're drowning in, he can bring clarity and hope to it. You just got to surrender. God, right now we come to you and we thank you. We thank you for showing us just how much you love us. And you spare us from the death that we deserve because of the sin that we commit. You offer us an ark of salvation through your Son, Jesus. May it never be lost on us how much you love us and always will. God, I pray for those today who are currently going through that 40 and eagerly awaiting that 41. May they continue to be patient. May they continue to surrender. May you calm their uncertainty and their anxiety and their fear and their doubt. Would you remind them that you are present with them, that you have not forgotten them, that you know right where they're at and what they're going through, and you are there with them in it. The doors will open. The rain will stop, the flood will subside, and one day you'll step out. Hold on to hope that is only found in Jesus Christ. God, right now we thank you for him, all that he is, all that he does, and all that he calls us to be. It's in his name that I pray. Amen.